Hello and welcome to Exploring the Tragedy of Antony by Robert Garnier and done into English by Mary Sidney, or Mary Herbert, the Countess of Pembroke. We're currently producing a full cast audio production of this play as chosen by our wonderful patrons. You can choose future work by joining us on patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. You also get all of these episodes early. This exploration is based on a series of one-to-one conversations with readers as we try to get to grips with this play. It's fair to say, we get things wrong in a first read, and we dive down roads which we will not take, but also we find things that are really interesting. In this episode, we're looking at Act 5. A short old act, and we're back with Cleopatra and her servants. Now, this isn't a full exposition of the text. If you want a more considered look, come back in a few months for the spoilers episodes. First up, we're going to look at the tutor to Cleopatra's children, Euphron. That's with Mark Scanlon. And then at Cleopatra with Liz Cole. And finally, we have a little look at Charmian with Lee MacDonald. I myself am everybody else, especially Eras, who didn't get a session specifically on her, and I will remain Robert Crichton still. Mark Antony has just killed himself. In fact, we think that his body is lying on the floor with Cleopatra standing over him doing that speech. This scene is pretty much the end of the play. Everyone's a bit depressed and expecting to die very, very soon. Basically, Euphron, I don't know, is, I think in the script she's he, I think it's a he, but it probably will be, let's say, be a she, when we record, is down as teacher of Cleopatra's children. But I'm going to try and double and conflate the part with someone who just does one speech earlier in the play, and it just makes sort of more sense. Your role here is not huge. It's mostly to have Cleopatra do massive speeches at you. So I just want to sort of get a sense of how it works. So I'm going to go from the Oh Hurtful Woman to cue you in. I will read Cleopatra. I am not going to be playing Cleopatra. I'm just going to read in Cleopatra. And I'll just get a sense of how this flows. You're only on for about a page and a half, 2 pages. And in terms of your actual action, it's very, very small. Oh, hurtful woman, and can I yet live, yet longer live in this ghost-haunted tomb? Can I yet breathe? Can yet in such annoy? Yet can my soul within this body dwell? O sisters, you that spin the threads of death, O Styx, O Phlegethon, you brooks of hell, O imps of night...
Live for your children's sake. Let not your death of kingdom them deprive. Alas, what shall they do? Who will have care? Who will preserve this royal race of yours? Who pity take? Even now meseems I see these little souls to serve our bondage fallen and born in triumph.
Ah, most miserable.
Their tender arms with cursed cord fast bound at their weak backs.
Oh, gods, what pity more?
Their seely necks to ground with weakness bend.
Never on us, good gods, such mischief send.
And pointed it with fingers as they go.
Rather a thousand deaths.
Lastly, his knife, some cruel caitiff in their blood imbrew.
So I just want to read that again, because I genuinely find that very, very confusing. Is it that they will die if Cleopatra dies? You know, unless Cleopatra stays alive to give their life meaning or something. Mm. Let's just try that again. I'll just give you a few lines in. O sisters, you that spin the threads of death, O Styx, O Phlegethon, you brooks of hell, O imps of night.
Live for your children's sake. Let not your death of kingdom them deprive. Alas, what shall they do? Who will have care? Who will preserve this royal race of yours? Who pity take? Even now meseems I see these little souls to servile bondage fallen and born in triumph.
Ah, oh, most miserable.
Their tender arms with cursed cord fast bound at their weak backs.
Oh, gods, what pity more?
Their seely necks to ground with weakness bend.
Never on us, good gods, such mischief send.
And pointed at with fingers as they go.
Rather a thousand deaths.
Lastly, his knife. Some cruel caitiff in their blood imbrew.
Ah, oh, my heart breaks. And she goes on
for a bit about how bad everything is. I'm not going to read through all that because it's not my part. I'll go a couple of paragraphs up. The children say some stuff, and there isn't actually a lot really more that you say. Actually, looking ahead, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, so, Madam Adieu, this voice kills me. So, the children say something, and Cleopatra suddenly gets pangs of fear. Ah, good gods, I swoon, I can no more, I die. Madam, alas. And will you yield to woe? Ah, speak to us.
Come, children.
We come.
Follow we our chance. The gods shall guide us.
And that's it. It's a small part, which, as I say, I want to double with or conflate with another part earlier in the play. I don't think it matters. I think the logic is that it's a male tutor, so I'm quite happy to change it. It isn't clear that Euphron is in any way a teacher or a tutor or just any random servant and is just there to get the children off. The children who say the exciting lines of Madam Adieu and We Come. That's a role someone's going to relish. you never know, you might be lucky, it might be you, with your voice altered to sound younger. To be little children. Okay, that is that for that. Any comments you think about? What do you feel is your character? Yes. What can you glean from this little brief glimpse into this character's life? Not a lot, really. There isn't much. There's much less than even I thought there was. For some reason, I had it in my mind that you said slightly more. But no, it's just Cleopatra, two massive speeches for Cleopatra. And what you're saying is very, very similar to what Charmian and Eris. So that was Euphron. Now, to put that dialogue in a bit more context, here's Liz Cole. Act 5. Many, many pages ahead we need to go. There we are. Cleopatra. As you can see, Cleopatra is happy by all the O's. So we think, missing stage direction that would have been really useful here, is that you are literally standing over the body of Antony and he has just expired. So this is full...
He just hasn't got there in time.
Yeah, you know, you've winched him up to the monument, you've said goodbyes in the absence of action. Nobody's seen that. That's where we've got to. And this is the full-on lament, which I think if you're standing over the body is perfectly legitimate. You are also surrounded by your children, their children's tutor, who again I'll probably double with another character, and your handmaidens. And this is not a long scene. We just did a 500-liner. This is a 200-liner. So this is quite short and sweet. Or short and...
Whoa, yes.
So... go with the woes.
Okay. Oh, cruel fortune. Oh, accursed lot. Oh, plaguey love, most detested brand. Oh, wretched joys. Oh, beauties miserable. Oh, deadly state. Oh, deadly loyalty, royalty. Oh, hateful life. Oh, queen most lamentable. Oh, Antony, by my fault buryable. Oh, hellish work of heaven. Alas, the wrath of all the gods at once on us is fallen. Unhappy queen, oh, would I in this world the wandering light of day had never seen. Alas, have mine the plague and poison, I, the crown, have lost my ancestors me left. This realm I have to strangers subject made and robbed my children of their heritage. Yet this is naught, alas, unto the price of you, dear husband, whom my snares entrapped, of you, whom I have plagued, of whom I have made with bloody hand a guest of mouldy tomb, of you, whom I destroyed, of you, dear lord, whom I of empire, honour, life have spoiled. Oh, hopeful woman, and how can I live, and yet longer live in this ghost-haunted tomb? Yet... can I yet breathe? Can yet in such annoy, yet can my soul within this body dwell? Oh, sisters, you that spin the threads of death, oh, Styx, oh, Plegathon, you brooks of hell, oh, Impis, or imps of night.
It is Plegathon, isn't it? I've read it as Phlegathon, but maybe it is Plegathon, isn't it? That's an L. I've been reading that.
I've got
that.
P written on this one.
Yeah, have you got an PL?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been reading that as an H. Well, that's useful. Plegathon, yes, it is an L. So, yes, it goes from oh, woe, oh, woe, and then it goes to an urgent call upon the dark deities to end your life as quickly as possible. So it's quite a quick speech, I felt. You know, even though it looks quite long, I don't think it hangs around. I don't think you're doing this slowly.
No,
I think
he's just smacking your own hand here.
Yeah. And again, there's that physical element of, you know, is something happening with the O's? Oh, you know, because there's talking about beating breasts turns up. I think I could be confusing that with a different play we're working on, but I think that's a thing where that's mentioned in the dialogue. I think more with the chorus who are doing, you know, the various citizens of Alexandria. So the physicality actually of what looks to be quite a wordy text, there's a lot more physically going on than you'd think.
I'm thinking maybe the Plegathon is another part of the River Styx, because she says you brooks of hell.
Yes, I think it is. There is a footnote. We can confirm this assertion. There are footnotes. So this is ones that it goes around Tartarus in the underworld. So it's a very specific part of the geography of hell.
Trodden route.
Yes. Anyway, so you're calling on death, and then your children's tutors, who's standing there doing the emotional blackmail bit with the look, think of the children. Look, I'm holding them here. Live for your children's sake. Let not your death of kingdom them deprive. Alas, what shall they do? Who will have care? Who will preserve this royal race of yours? Who pity take? Even now, meseems I see these little souls to servile bondage, fallen and born in triumph.
Ah, most miserable.
Their tender arms with cursed cord fast bound at their weak backs.
Ah, gods, what pity more.
Their seely necks to ground with weakness bend.
Never on us, good gods, such mischief send.
And pointed at with fingers as they go.
Rather a thousand deaths.
Lastly, his knife some cruel... really laying it on thick. Yes. Lastly, his knife some cruel caitiff in their blood imbrue.
Ah, my heart breaks. By shady banks of hell, by fields wherein the lonely ghosts do tread, by my soul and the soul of Antony, I do beseech you, Euphron, of them have care. Be their good father. Let that they fall not into this tyrant's hands. Rather conduct them where their frizzed locks and black Ethiops to neighbour's sun do show. On wavy ocean, at the water's will, on barren cliffs of snowy Caucasus, to tiger swift, to lions, to bears, to rather every coast, to every land and sea, for naught I fear as rage of him whose thirst no blood can quench. Adieu, dear children, children dear, adieu. Good Isis, you to place of safety guide, far from our faces where you're...
Got foes. Have you got faces?
Yes.
Oh, that's wrong. Okay. Far from our foes.
Well, that makes more sense.
That's obviously, again, that's just me. I've got that wrong.
Yes.
I'd go from a dear children. So you're standing there over your children and, you know, you've... And I can't change who that person is because you do say... Be their good father, so that's going to have to be a bloke. Bugger. Okay. Anyway, adieu, dear children.
Adieu, dear children. Children, dear, adieu. Good Isis, you, to place of safety guide, far from our foes, where you your lives may lead in free estate, devoid of servile dread. Remember not, my children, you were born of such a princely race. Remember not so many brave kings which have Egypt ruled. In right descent your ancestors have been. Of this great Antony your father was Hercules' blood, and more then He in praise, for your high courage such remembrance will, seeing your fall with burning rages fill. Who knows if that your hands, false destiny, the sceptres promised of imperious Rome, instead of them shall crooked sheep hooks bear, needles or forks, or guide the cart or plough? Ah, learn to endure your birth and high estate, forget my babes, and bend to force of fate.
So you're going to spend the rest of your lives as farmers in the middle of nowhere, you know, get used to this.
Yeah, get over it.
I mean, the emotion flowing out of this will, you know, this is probably snotty acting going on here. It's going to be,
tears all round from everybody.
Yeah, blowing of noses. I think this has to go full on, really, doesn't it?
Yes. Farewell, my babes. Farewell, my heart is closed with pity and pain. Myself with death enclosed, my breath doth fail. Farewell for evermore. Your sire and me, we shall see nevermore. Farewell, sweet care. Farewell.
Madam, adieu.
Ah, this voice kills me. Ah, good gods, I swooned. I can no more. I die.
Yes, so semi-swoon there, as your children say the immortal line, madam, adieu. And then one of your handmaidens comes forth and probably just grabs you a bit because you're fainting a bit. Madam, alas, and will you yield to woe? Us, speak to us. And the tutor takes the children off. And Charmian and Eris have a little back and forth where you've obviously fainted from the grief of it all. I think that's what's going on here. No stage direction helpfully telling us that. But they do sort of wander, chat back and forth. Half dead she lie with anguish overgone, her face is frozen. And then I personally think Charmian is sort of slapping you across the face a bit. Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas, weep over Antony. Let not his body be without due rites entombed. Sorry. I love the fact it always happens when you only have to make some random monosyllabic noise. You sort of lose your place. There's a long, pregnant pause. Now, of theory, this, the next line, the line after how faint she is, should all be one flowing, scanned line. I don't think in practice we will bother trying to make that happen. But do the RR in some sort of rhythm, please. Madam.
Aye, me.
How faint she is. And so we help you up a bit because you're going to ask us to do so.
My sisters, hold me up. How wretched I, how cursed am. Was there ever one by fortune's hate more dolorous thrown? Ah, weeping Niobe, though thy heart beholds itself wrapped in causeful woe for thy dead children, that a senseless rock with grief become, on Siphilus thou stands in endless tears. Yet did thou never feel the weights of grief upon my heart do lie, thy children thou, mine I poor soul have lost, and have lost their father, more than them I wail, lost this fair realm, yet me the heaven's wrath into a stone yet not transformed hath.
Yes, so your griefs are not just Antony here, actually. You're now going through all your griefs, which is the first bit of really extended sense of actually you've lost your kingdom, you've just lost your children, you've lost Mark Antony.
The works. Yeah.
And so what, and you're sort of asking, or not asking, but you're just saying you haven't been turned into stone yet, because the hardships you've had should surely have done that by now.
Phaeton's sister, daughters of the sun, which wear your brothers fallen up into the streams of stately Par, the gods upon the banks your bodies to bank-loving elders turn, for me I sigh. I ceaseless weep and wail, and heaven pitiless laughs at my woe, revives, renews it still. And in the end, oh cruelty, doth death for comfort lend.
So it's that thing, is the gods still haven't killed you. Why aren't the gods killing you? And it's like, no, it's going to have to be. And now you make the final point, it's going to have to be you that does it.
Die, Cleopatra, then no longer stay from Antony, who thee at Styx attends. Go, join thy ghost with his, and sob no more without his love within these tombs enclosed.
Alas, let us weep, lest sudden death from him our tears and those last duties take. Unto his tomb we owe, and next Charmin also says, ah, let us weep while moisture lasts, then die before his feet.
Who furnish will mine eyes with streaming tears, my boiling anguish worthily to wail? Wail thee, Antony, Antony, my heart. Alas, how much I weeping liquor want, yet have mine eyes drawn dry, their conduits dry. By long be weeping my disastrous harms. Now, reason that thou from my side they suck, first vital moisture, then the vital blood, let the blood from my sad eyes outflow, and smoking yet with thine inmixture grow. Moist it, heat it new, never stop, or watering, thee, while yet remains one drop.
So one's having a bit of a crying competition? Is that sort of...
Almost saying that she's cried out and there's nothing
cried
left.
Out, yeah, yeah. Antony, take our tears. This is the last of all the duties we to thee can yield before we die. These sacred obsequies, take, Antony, and take them in good part. And before we go on, because you need to take a deep breath, this is the last speech of the play. So just so you know, at some point
the
you're
end
gonna,
is in sight.
At some point you're going to die, and there's no note actually saying, you know, no stage directions to helpfully explain how that happens, because it'll be interesting to see.
Yes.
I mean, the stage direction at the end here is added by the editor, so it might not be that you actually die at the end. You might go off stage to do the dying thing.
Yes.
Or there might be some implied action in this speech, and I don't know because I just haven't got to grips with it.
Okay,
let's work through this because it's a long one, so we may stop and start.
O goddess, thou whom Cyprus doth adore, Venus of Paphos, bent to work us harm, for old jewellers brood. Gosh, it's a mouthful of things. Let me try that.
Yeah, they do this thing where they do a list. So every so often it just happens where they'll do a list of random gods who nobody can remember. I don't think it's Julius, actually. I think it's Ilius. I think that's supposed to be an I rather than a J.
Ilius. Mm. Right, okay. O goddess, thou whom Cyprus doth adore, Venus of Paphos, bent to work us harm, for old Ilius brood. If thou take care of Caesar, why of us takes thou no care? Antony did descend as well as he from thine own son by long enchained line, and might have ruled by one selfsame fate, true Trojan blood, the stately Roman state. Antony, poor Antony, my dear soul, now but a block, the booty of a tomb, thy life, thy heat is lost, thy colour gone, and with hideous paleness on thy face hath ceased thy eyes. Two sons, the lodging place of love, which for yet tents to warlike Mars did serve, locked up in lids, as false day's cheerful light, which darkness flies, do winking hide in night. Antony, by our true loves I thee beseech, and by our hearts, sweet spark has set on fire our holy marriage, and the tender Ruth of our dear babies.
Not I think it's just babes, did, actually.
Yes,
so.
Sorry, that was me.
So you're standing over him, aren't you, and talking to him. So maybe this is actually sort of whispered to his corpse, which would be really creepy.
Well, she's really describing... Perhaps she's had the chance to look at him properly. Mm. She's been talking, defending her reasons to all these servants, children, and now she's got a moment of peace on her own to just gaze upon him and just look and see how... very, very dead he is.
Yes, and the other servants are sort of... it's intimated they're slightly further away,
yes,
that they're perhaps just crying by themselves now because you've run out of tears.
Yes.
They're doing that, and now you're just alone with your Antony.
Yeah.
Nice tonal shift. I like that. I like tonal shift. Anyway, can you go from Antony by our true hearts from there again?
Two loves or two hearts?
Antony by our true loves, I thee beseech.
Yeah. Antony, by our true loves, I thee beseech... and by our hearts, sweet sparks have set on fire our holy marriage and the tender ruth of our dear babes, not of our enmity. my doleful voice thy ear let entertain, and take me with thee to the hellish plain. Thy wife, thy friend, hear, Antony, oh, hear my sobbing sighs, if here be thou or there. Live thus long, the winged race of years, ended I have, as destiny decreed, flourished and reigned, and have taken just revenge of him who me both hated and despised. Alas, alas, too happy, if of Rome only the fleet had hither never come, and now of me an image great I shall go under the earth to bury there my woe. What say I? Where am I? Oh, Cleopatra, poor Cleopatra, grief thy reason reaves. No, no, most happy in this hapless case, die with thee, and dying thee embrace. My body joined with thine, my mouth with thine, my mouth, whose moisture burning sighs have dried, to be in one self tomb, and one self chest, wrapped with thee in one self sheet, to rest.
Do you have more?
Oh!
It's a lovely moment. It's a lovely moment. It's like you're sort of adjusting his clothes. I was going to say,
yes.
Sadly, it's not that short a speech. You're only halfway through.
Deep breath, here I go. The sharpest torment in my heart I feel, that I stay from thee, my heart, this while. Die will I straight now. Now straight will I die, and straight with thee a wandering shade will be. Under the cypress trees thou hauntest alone, where brooks of hell do falling seem to moan. Yet I stay, and yet thee overlive, yet ere I die due rites I may give.
So it's that thing of...
Yeah, I've got to go through all the process.
Yeah, it's that thing of, I'm still alive, you're dead, I should die, but I'm not dying, you know, I'm going to have to do it. And it's this dancing around the same theme, die will I straight now straight will I die, and
yeah.
Straight with the, you know, and it's the thing is, I should do it straight away, but
hang
it's
about,
like,
there's a few first bit of paperwork to go through.
Well, it's almost like you're talking yourself into it, so you want to die, but also there's a part of you that really, really doesn't, and I think that's the psychological thing to give an actor to play with,
yeah.
Is to say, actually,
hesitate.
It's long-winded to some degree,
yeah.
Because actually there's resistance within her.
It's finding sort of compensating behaviour to delay.
Yeah, because there's bits of this where I'm going, oh, that could go, and then I'm looking at it again in second viewing, just going, actually, no, you can do things with this. It's not just a rhetorical argument.
Yeah.
It's an emotional response to what you're trying to do. Anyway, let us go on. You're not far now.
1,000 sobs I from my breast will tear, with 1,000 plaints thy funerals adorn. My hair shall serve for thy oblations, my boiling tears for thy effusions, mine eyes thy fire, for out of them the flame which burnt thy heart on me enamoured came. Weep, my companions, weep, and from your eyes rain down on him of tears a brinish stream. Mine can no more, consumed by the coals which from my breast, as from a furnace rise, martyr your breasts with multiplied blows, with violent hands, tear of your hanging hair, outrage your face. Alas, why should we seek, since we now die, our beauties more to keep?
It's nice that, because again, it's like you've now brought the attendants to you, so to do an official, you are here to weep, do the
yes.
weeping, you are the official
all
mourners.
Of you join in, yes.
So it's like they've been brought back into the
group
picture
hug,
there.
Group hug, group hug.
And now, final paragraph.
I spent in tears, not able more to spend, but kiss him now. What rests me more to do? Then, let me kiss you, your fair eyes, my light, front seat of honour, face most fierce, most fair. Oh, neck, arms, or hands, or breast, where breath, oh, mischief, comes to choke up vital breath. 1,000 kisses, 1,000 more, let you my mouth for honour's farewell give, that in this office weak my limbs may grow, fainting on you, and forth my soul may flow.
So, Every nice. Time she says oh here, it's a kiss goes with it. It's a physical action. There's a sound. That's really nice. I'm seeing now how we're going to record this, which is basically I think I'm going to have to get the actor to hug a pillow or something. You know, actually get them in an uncomfortable position and get them to hold something and kiss it and do all of that. Actually stage it rather than just record it in the way one would any other speech. And it just seems here, she just dies. She just expires of a broken heart. There's no Asp mentioned at all.
Well, she just says, in this office, wait, my limbs may grow, which is very sudden.
Mm.
And yet, you know, a few speeches earlier, she's putting it off.
Yeah, it's fainting on you, and forth my soul may flow. So maybe she doesn't die now. The actual dying is much later. You know, she'll do that later, but it's not the part of this
story. It makes more sense, story. I think.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if she died now, then the story becomes about her. And the play is called The Tragedy of Antony. This speech is all about Antony. And she faints for the grief. She's going to kill herself. But the end of the play is emphatically about him, not about her. That's my thinking. So she doesn't die. She just faints. Death is paperwork to be sorted later.
Yes, I see what you mean. Yeah. Yes, because if she starts doing away with herself here, it's a lot of business and it does become more about her then, doesn't it?
Yeah. Because it is called The Tragedy of Antony and, you know, everyone is always talking about Antony. You know, she's going to kill herself because of Antony, but actually,
it doesn't concern the rest of Antony's story.
No. And I say it's that thing. It detracts. I quite liked that. That pleases me because you look at it the first time you look at Cleopatra, you just look at all the O's and the armies, and you think, oh, woe is me, woe is me. And actually, she comes across a lot better than Antony does. Antony does come across as a bit of a whinging git.
And finally, as there is no chorus, and we didn't have a separate look at Eris, here's Charmian with Lee MacDonald.
Cheery.
So, it gets worse.
Great. But we still have hope.
We have hope. So, let me probably quickest to face find where it lives, because there's other stuff happens. Mark Antony tries to kill himself, and that goes well. Then you are there when Cleopatra says goodbye to her children. They're sent off, and you don't say a lot. It's mostly Cleopatra going, woe is me again. And you're just there to, I think, basically feed. You're there as a line feed.
A line feeder. Okay.
So I don't think you say anything in the first half of the scene. It's just pretty much the children go.
Okay, darling. Okay, children, madam, adieu. We come. Following our child's exit, the children. Okay, sure. Okay. Following our child's exit, shall guide us. Okay, okay, so it's got worse. Here we are.
Oh, yes, this is the end. This is the end. Cleopatra's going to do her big snake charming moment.
This is the big snake bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, exit the too cruel lot. Oh, too hard chance. Sister, what shall we do? What shall we do? Alas, if murdering dart of death arrive, while that in slumbering swooned, half dead, she lie with anguish overgone.
Her face is frozen.
Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas, weep over Antony. Let not his body be without due rites entombed. Madam.
Ah, me.
How faint she is.
And that's going to be an absolute sob to make work. I hate a few words.
Oh, God.
Yes. I think the first bit, oh, too cruel lot, I think that's whispered aside.
Oh, gosh, okay, yeah, okay.
And then you go, madam, for God's love, leave us not thus.
Oh, too cruel lot. Oh, too hard chance. Sister, what shall we do? What shall we do? Alas, if murdering dart of death arrive, while that in slumbering swooned, half dead she lie with anguish overgone.
Have you got swoon or swooned?
Swooned.
Ah, take the ED off. I think I've got slumbering swoon here, so let's make it.
Well, that in slumbering swoon, half dead, she lie with anguish overgone.
Her face is frozen.
Madam, for God's love, leave us not thus. Bid us yet first farewell. Alas, weep over Antony. Let not his body be without due rites entombed. Madam!
Ah, me.
How faint as she is.
Hold me up. There's no stage direction saying precisely at what point she uses the snake, so it sounds here like I think she's just swooned because of the children going.
Okay,
I don't think she's actually dying.
Doing that. No, not yet.
But
okay.
You can still play it like that. I think that concern is good. Okay, Cleopatra makes a massive speech. Your co-handmaiden gives you this cue line in.
Okay.
Alas, let us weep lest sudden death from him our tears and those last duties take unto his tomb we owe.
Oh, let us weep while moisture lasts, then die before his feet.
Ooh, gosh.
Yes, it's really interesting. It's very cheery. There's an expectation you're just going to drop dead. So I do think maybe there is a whole...
So we're all... Yeah, okay.
Some physical action that's not mentioned here.
Yes, that's...
Because the thing is, you can't be doing the poisony stuff when the children are present. That would be weird. They get rid of the children, but there's no break anywhere that I can see. Interesting.
Okay, yes, there's... Yeah, you're right, there's no... Okay.
I don't think you've done anything to yourself yet. Let's see. Okay. Cleopatra has a little thing. She's talking about weeping. Then let the blood of from my sad eyes outflow, and smoking yet with thine in mixture grow, moist it and heat it new, and never stop, all watering thee, while yet remains one drop.
Antony.
Oh, you're over the body of Antony.
Antony, take our tears. Right, okay, right, okay. Antony, take our tears. This is the last of all the duties we to thee can yield before we die.
She follows on the thought.
Before we die.
And that's it.
That's Charmian.
That's the end of the play. That's into a different play there. In that folder.
Okay.
So it's interesting that you don't get a death scene, as far as I can tell. There's no mention here as to you doing anything. You're just standing over Mark Antony's body. She's off doing her speech. She speechifies herself to death.
Right.
I think she talks herself through it. I haven't gone into detail, and all I'm doing at the moment is demonstrating my ignorance of the play that I'm producing. But that's why I do this. I think out loud.
Well, we're finding out together, aren't we?
Well, the thing is, there's so many options here that the edition, this is pretty much the only edition I've got.
Right.
There is another edition which I haven't, as of yet, managed to get a copy of.
Right.
The problem is that this isn't thinking about it as a practical piece of stagecraft of, like, if Mark Antony's body is on stage, there's no mention of it in the stage directions here. So is he about? Are you standing over... It would make sense if you are standing over his now corpse, because he's been brought to the monument, and Cleopatra is planning her death, the children are got rid of. So how is the death by poison, snake poison thing happening, and are you partaking of it? You might not. I don't know precisely whether in the actual history you actually do kill yourselves or not. I suspect you do. Because you talk about it vaguely.
Yeah, okay.
So I think, broadly speaking, just be sad.
That's great direction, that.
Yeah,
just be sad.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
Be sad. I'll be sad, darling.
You know, there was a time I was a good director when I gave
darling,
useful
I really,
notes.
Do you know what I mean? Let's be brutally honest. Be sad,
just
enough.
Be sad.
Yeah,
just
if an actor can't be sad, then they're really not the right person,
really,
are they?
No. And, you know, if it doesn't sound right, I'll, you know, get you in again and we'll do another take.
Well, I mean, we can...
But that's the thing, is that that's part of the reason why, you know, we're doing this, is to talk through it and find out how that goes.
That was the text of Act 5 as part of our prep for the proper recording.
There may be time to throw in your 5 cents if you have any thoughts about it, and we might change our approach for the final version. Or not. Send thoughts, suggestions, clarifications, and passive-aggressive abuse either on our Patreon page by joining us, or on Twitter at BeyondShakes, or email us at admin@beyondshakespeare.org.
But no, that's really helpful. I now have done this with every single, I think with a few lines of, I haven't really done any much work on Iris, but she doesn't really do very much. She has a few, she says it's considerably less than Charmian.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I might effectively downplay her anyway, depending on casting and timing and who I've got when to record what. But no, that gives me a really clear idea. Any additional thoughts about the play itself? You've obviously only done about
A small section.
You've done about a third, I think, about a third of the text, maybe a quarter. You know, Cleopatra is not an insignificant character. But there are a lot of other big speeches. She doesn't do huge speeches, it has to be said. You know, she, I think, you know, her pre-death speech is what we'll call that. You know, the prologue to a death speech that she does at the end. I mean, that, you know, considering what she's doing, that's not actually that long. I mean, that whole scene is shorter almost than I think some of the other. Mark Antony's opening speech is so ridiculously long. Don't know what I'm doing with it yet. Mark Antony's opening speech is almost as long as the final act. And I think that'll get cut. But I don't think actually Cleopatra there is much. I'm going to trim probably a few of the more obscure classical references.
Well, I don't think they add much to.
No. Well, if they get into this list thing, you know, they mention one classical reference and then they have to add another three or four in, and I'm sort of going, well, we've got one, that'll be fine.
I think the most important thing is her reference to the fact that the gods are so high above us that they're not going to be. There's no good calling down on them, although she does.
Mm.
But she's saying at one time, you know, it's what we do that matters.
Yeah.
Not the gods.
And it's a big debate as well. That's a big, because having worked the other side of that, having worked with Charmin, the actor playing her, you know, they really go into that. We slightly skipped some of the retort on that, but no, that was some.